Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Boselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange, Geico, and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
From the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, Jaguars Monday underway. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli here in studio. Pete Prisco, CBS Sports senior writer down in Fort Lauderdale, the day after the Week 7 loss to the Raiders, 33-16. Jaguars offense, not good.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
That's why you're
Jags offense was not good.
You're the best. You dig deep and really make
I don't think anybody's talked about that all day.
I mean, I've not heard that. I mean, nobody else is saying that, JP. We only get that from you.
This is what we will bring you on Jaguars Monday.
Honestly, can we find something that's not right in front of us?
No. No, we're going to go deep into all this today, Tony. It's going deep.
I'm fine going as deep as you want.
And there's going to be no sugarcoating like normal.
Oh. I never sugarcoat, number one.
Oh.
Never.
Yeah, really?
Never.
Really?
Really? Really?
I've never sugarcoated anything. I give you my opinion. You might disagree with my opinion, and people listening might not like my opinion, but I give you my opinion based on watching this team live, watching the tape, being around it a lot. That's what I base my opinion on. Now, you can disagree with me. I'm rarely wrong, but you still can disagree if you like. That's your prerogative. But I don't sugarcoat anything.
Yeah, I'm gonna give you a little capital S with some sugar, and you'll throw some sugar on top
of
it.
No, Pete, you just see it. You see it through the lens you want, so it fits your
narrative of what you want. Okay. What do I want to see? I see.
I don't
the reality
know. Half the time, I don't know what you want to see.
The reality lens, and the reality lens is right now. Those are legitimate questions about the quarterback. Fair, or if you don't think it's fair, you're crazy. But those are fair questions, Tony.
I said he didn't play well, but I don't think it's
I'm talking about the long-term viability of Blake Bortles as the starting quarterback.
I think that's a dumb question, and that's why that's why you would never be a GM because judgment guy who's based on week to week of what you see and go, oh my gosh, let's panic. Let's panic.
I'm not
Jump off the boat. It's sinking. Dive. Save yourselves. Every man for himself. It's all about
right
me.
Now, the boat's
about
been
me,
on the,
me,
the
me. Give me a break.
The boat's been on the bottom of the lake for the last four
Give
years.
Break,
what are you talking about? Sinking.
No, come on.
It hasn't been?
It's been on the bottom. This is the same guy who
not
said
Blake.
At the beginning of the
I'm
season.
Talking about the
hold
team.
On. No, you said at the beginning of the season, you can't judge anything that has been under Caldwell or Bradley the first 2 years because of how they tried to rebuild this thing, how they the strategy. So you said, quote, from Pete Prisco, throw out the first 2 years. Now, all of a sudden, because it's easy, we're going to say it's been on the bottom of the ocean for 4 years.
Well, wait, but just because you throw out the first 2 years doesn't mean it's the boat wasn't on the bottom of the ocean. That's where the boat was. Now the idea is to raise the boat and bring it to the top. And right now the boat isn't going to the top, Tony. And the biggest problem of the team right now, the biggest problem with this football team right now is the quarterback.
I think it's one of the problems. I don't think it's – I think there's multiple large problems.
When the quarterback's not playing well, that's the biggest problem of all.
Well, having a quarterback play is the most important thing in this league. That's a very – unless you have a great running game and a great defense, if you don't have those two things at the same time, a lot of it's on the quarterback's shoulders, and there's no doubt about that. But to say that is the only issue on this offense is very
narrow-minded. I said he's the biggest issue by far and away on the football team.
Hey, JP, real quick.
Hey, Tony.
Look up, as Pete and I are talking about this, look up Blake Bortles' numbers for last week against the Chicago Bears.
I can do that. Yeah, stand by.
Because while I don't think Blake has played at the level that I expected him to play this year, for the six games, I don't think it's been all terrible. You're telling me he was terrible against Green Bay?
He wasn't terrible at Chicago.
Here we go. Chicago, Blake Bortles, 20 of 33 passing, 271 yards.
Okay, 20 of 33. He had six drops. Six. Go back and watch. Six drops. So he's
20 of 33.
20 of 33. Six drops, Pete. It's a lot of drops in one game. So,
Tony,
based on those numbers.
Okay, I get it.
Okay, hold on. Back up. Let's back up. Before, did he play terrible in Indianapolis?
No.
Okay, that's two games now. He did not play.
Did he carry the team?
Hold on.
Did he carry those teams?
Two different. No, no. Wait a second now, Pete. You can't. Well, let's talk about what we're. You're saying he played terrible this year.
I didn't say he played terrible.
Yes,
he
you
was
did.
Terrible this
let me,
week.
Let me just remind what you just said. You said he's regressed, not just regressed, but regressed with a capital R.
Yes.
He's regressed with a capital R, and you're questioning whether he's the future quarterback of this team. So now I want to go back.
I didn't say I was. I said it's a legitimate question to question him as the future for the team. Yes.
Oh, now okay. So you're saying it's a legitimate question. So now let's go back over.
I was a GM, would I be asking it? Yes.
Let's go over the six games. Did he play bad in Green Bay? No, he did not.
He was okay in Green. He was okay against
for 300 yards.
Yeah, okay. He was good against Green Bay.
85 rating.
Not good, but he was okay.
85 rating.
Okay. He played poorly against San Diego with the rest of the
terrible.
Team. Okay. The next game was Baltimore.
Yeah.
Did not play well.
Bad.
No. Okay.
Bad.
60.6 rating.
Didn't play well. Indianapolis played good.
Very well.
So that's 2 out of 4. Played well. Played fine in Chicago. Right, that's three out of five.
In the
games.
Fourth quarter,
he was right. He had six drops. What if those drops don't happen,
Tony?
Oh, yeah,
He played poorly this week. So yes, 50. Listen, I'm not saying it's good football. It's hard to play winning football when your quarterback plays poorly 3 out of 6 games. I'm not arguing that. But to say we're now all of a sudden based on last year and the whole story is now. Blake Bortles isn't the guy. He can't do it. It's time to fire the coach and fire the GM, and let's fire the quarterback, and let's burn the house down. Let's do that. Because that's what I'm hearing, and that's how you and Frangie start the dang show, of questioning whether let's make the decision now after six games after what he did last year.
That's exactly what you said. No, okay, now you had your piece. Now let me have mine. The kid has clearly regressed as a quarterback.
You said regress with a capital R. Let's make sure.
And he has.
Okay.
There's no rhythm whatsoever to the way he plays the position now.
Except for the three games he played well?
I'll go back to what JP said. In the fourth quarter, he was really good against Chicago when they let him throw it around, and it was less pressure to try and come back. He's good when everything is
six
behind.
Drops. He had six drops in the second and third quarter.
I understand that, Tony, and he had some drops yesterday too, but you can talk about the drops all you want. Yesterday, he was bad.
I don't think
with
he played
a capital
well.
B.
I don't think he played well yesterday. I thought he was
wildly
inaccurate yesterday.
So, Pete, you're talking about more
you're
looking.
You're going to argue with me. Are you going to argue with me that he's regressed?
At time, yes, based on my expectations, I thought he would improve over last year, and he has not done that. So I was told this from the time I can remember playing football, but especially when I got in this league, you're only doing one of two things. You're either getting better or you're getting worse, because if you're staying the same, you're going backwards.
Is
he getting better? No, he has not gotten better
he got worse.
From last year to this year. I would agree with that.
Okay.
But for you to sit here and say it is a legitimate question to, at this point after six games where three of them he has played winning football, to question whether he is the quarterback or not is asinine with a capital A.
The mechanics are terrible. The reads in the field are bad. He predetermines where he's going with the football.
There's something wrong in his head.
When it goes bad, Tony, he seems to go into the jar. That's not good mental makeup for a quarterback. Look, last year, if you asked me last year, and I know I said this on the show, who would I rather have, Bortles or Derek Carr? It was no doubt in my mind it was Blake Bortles. I would rather have Blake Bortles. If you ask me today, it's a clear 100% Derek Carr.
That's fair. I'm not here to argue that. I'm not.
So then he's regressed.
Pete, I just told you I think he's worse. My whole point, he's not playing as well as he did last year. Yes, he's not improved. So I'm fine with that whole conversation. But to sit here and completely discount, and all of a sudden he can't play quarterback in this league, and it's awful, and it's backwards, and he's regressed with a capital R, and now let's question whether he's the future quarterback of this team, is just stupid. It's a dumb conversation. And you say, he's not reading both sides of the field, he's not doing this and that. I remember having the conversation on this show after the Green Bay game of you saying how impressed you were, how he's reading the field and going from getting off his first read and going to the backside and making throws. That was only 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, because of the bye.
Something happened between now and then because he's not doing it anymore.
I'm not saying he's playing well, Pete, but I think it's really short-sighted, and I have a problem with it, that all of a sudden we're going to question whether he's the guy or not.
At what point, then, is the question fair?
At the end of the year.
At the end of this year.
Yeah, I think you evaluate your team and look at the total 16-game package of what the players have done, and you make – I mean, I think you evaluate a lot of things. Let me ask you a question, because everyone wants to put it on Blake Bortles. Is the offensive line run blocking? Are the running backs running well? Is Allen Robinson playing like he did last year?
Are receivers getting open consistently?
Yeah, I mean, I watched the tape. There wasn't a lot of separation.
Marquise Lee got open.
Marquise Lee has played outstanding. He has improved immensely. He is dynamic.
He hasn't regressed with a capital R.
He's played very well. He's dynamic. He's creating space. He's playing well. I don't see the same guy in Allen Robinson as I did last year. Now, I don't know.
Okay, let me ask you this, Tony.
Maybe it's the quarterback. Maybe it's not. I'm just saying, Blake was not good yesterday, and he was very inaccurate. But I also didn't see a lot of winning from the receivers all the time. Now, I don't expect him to win every play. So I'm not – my whole point, I'm not trying to put it on Allen Robinson. I'm not trying to put it on Allen Hurns. I'm not trying to put it on the backs. I'm not trying to put it on the line. I'm not trying to put it on Blake. But the same way, I'm not going to put this whole thing on Blake's back.
Well, okay.
I just don't think that's fair.
What is this deal? And I haven't watched the 22 tape, but I watched the game again today. What is this deal where he's leaning back with his arm, and it's all arm, and there's no
Pete,
mechanical.
I thought the way he threw the ball and the whole operation from start to finish this past Sunday was not good.
But the mechanics of it, whether he played well. Tony, whether he played well against Green Bay or played well, against Indy and Chicago, the mechanics, the entire mechanical process of him playing quarterback has not been good at all this season. I told you that this summer. You debated me in the summer. You went on this whole tangent that I didn't know what I was talking about. 100% his mechanics. And there's a picture going around Twitter. I don't know if you've seen it.
I saw it.
I've seen it.
What the heck is that?
Pete. Even last year, you can take snapshots. He was significantly better last year. Can I finish?
From a mechanical standpoint,
it's not like this is he's not a natural thrower of the football. He never has been. Did it get better last year? I will still argue with you, because I know you haven't done it, that you've taken and looked at multiple games from both seasons and compared them. Yeah, and you compared them. So you've gone back.
Go back and look at Tampa. I looked at two last year and two this year, and yes, I've looked at them. The mechanics are worse. They're longer. His feet are worse. He's leaning back.
Okay.
He doesn't step into throws.
I haven't. So if you have, then I guess I'll take your word for it, because I know you're the quarterback guru.
Well, and I asked around, is he a student of the game? And the answer is yes. He works at it. So that's not the problem. Is he? So then the problem has to be one of a couple things. Is he not football bright? I mean, is he not read the field bright? Is that a problem? Because it's got to be something. And if he's working at it and he's putting the time in and he's watching the tape and he's doing all that stuff and he's all prepared and he knows his playbook and everything's going wrong on game day because he's not making his reads and not getting his progressions and not making pre-snap reads, then what is it? It's something.
You act like
that's not a legitimate question.
That's fine. But when you talk in such generalities, and you act like it's been every game for six games, he's been absolutely miserable. I will sit here and tell you, I don't think he has played as well.
I didn't say he was miserable.
Yes, you, Pete. You started off that he's regressed with a capital R
from a year ago, which he was pretty good last year. He was good last year. Was he not?
We gotta
good
go to break.
Year?
We'll finish this after the break. We'll keep talking. We gotta go to break. We gotta pay bills.
I've got the stress ball in my hand tonight. I can't handle this.
I mean, it's
unbelievable. We'll come back and continue the quarterback talk. Ejections, penalties. We'll get to that coming up as well. Your calls in the second hour this evening. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
I firmly believe in Blake Bortles, without a doubt. I think it was a challenging day yesterday, like I said earlier, about some of the situations we were in. But as far as a competitor and tough and what he brings to this team, there is no doubt.
Head coach Gus Bradley today in his afternoon press conference, the day after the Jags fell to the Raiders, 33-16. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick with Tony Boselli and Pete Prisco. That was in reference to a question about whether there's any thought of taking him out at any point.
That would be foolish.
Oh, I had people tell me today that we should bench him and start Chad Henne this week.
That's stupidity to the oath degree right there.
Once you make that move, you can't unmake that move.
No, if you make that move, what are you doing? There's no reason to make that move. Chad Henne's not the long-term answer here. And you know, whether it's not, Tony doesn't think it's a legitimate question or not, that Bortles should be playing to find out at the end of the season if he is indeed the guy that's going to be here for the long term. So that anybody who would actually suggest that Chad Henne should play quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars is an idiot.
I love the tweets I'm
with
getting.
A capital I.
Yeah, I love the tweets I'm getting. I've lost all respect for Tony Boselli. Even Bortles says he's playing bad, and Boselli is defending him like his son.
How about this?
First of all, I didn't say he didn't play bad. Do people not listen?
How about this one?
I got another one. Why do you pay Tony Boselli for bad radio?
It's a great question.
Listening to him yell at Pete. Well, Pete deserves it. What does a lineman know about quarterback? Obviously not very much.
How about this one? You want to count the drop passes, but you're forgetting about three dropped interceptions as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
And the touchdown pass to Julius Thomas could have easily been.
He played bad this week. I don't know how many times I have to say that. He played bad. It was a terrible
I don't think there's been one game this year where you can say he actually played really good, though.
You told me he played well after Green Bay, so you must have forgot.
It was solid. It was good. It was good. But I'm talking about really good.
Make up your mind, Pete. You're like a fan sometimes. You like to play both sides.
No, I don't play both sides.
So you can never be wrong.
No, I don't play both sides.
I have convictions.
I'm going to sit here and
say I like the kid. You don't.
I really like the kid coming into the season. I just think he's regressed. Now, I'm going to say this. I don't think they help him a lot. I'll be honest with you. I don't think they help him a lot. I don't think they play no huddle enough.
Oh, in the scheme, you mean?
Yeah. I mean, Tony, can I get an idea of why you would call a slant with
terrible.
A guy playing off of him?
Terrible call.
On the goal line on third goal from the 8 or 9 or whatever it was?
I don't know. You know, sometimes the quarterback IDs and kind of calls his backside route to his ex-receiver, the single receiver side. So I don't know if that was a call, because they had a combination front side into the end zone of the corner route to Marquise Lee that he never looked at. So I don't know if that was Blake IDing the backside route for the receiver, telling A-Rob what he wanted, or if that was the huddle call. So I'm not going to – I don't know whose that was on. I don't know if that was Blake or if that was a call from Greg Olsen, because a lot of times the quarterback will have the freedom to ID – or to name his backside route to the single receiver side when they have the combination route to work in front side. So I don't know who that was. But whoever it was, he shouldn't have thrown the ball there. And because he never looked at the three receiver side with the corner route.
I'm going to give you one. Okay, Chris Ivory runs, 40? How many yards was that
42.
Run?
42.
Okay. Why would you run him on the next play? The guy's clearly run 42 yards, and you got a little momentum there. So you stuff him into the line on first down for a yard or whatever it was.
Well, a lot of people all the time, we used to do it with Fred. You get him back hot, you got him on their heels, you line right back up and run it again. And
feed the beast.
He looked gassed, though, Tony. Chris Ivory looked gassed when he took the handoff on that play.
I don't know. It'd be hard for me to tell whether he's gassed or not because there was nowhere to run the ball. So I'm not saying he wasn't, but he could have been fresh as a daisy and it was going to be the same result.
But you go through that sequence – then he missed Julius Thomas, which should have been a touchdown.
It was a great call.
Right. Should have been a
touchdown. You got the matchup you want on a short rookie safety. Bad throw.
And he missed it.
Bad throw.
And then the next one was just a terrible play call with whoever's responsible for it. It's a bad play call.
Well,
now, you watched the 22. I didn't. What I can't see yet, and I will watch it, what I can't see yet is how many shots down the field, and I'm not talking about crossers and everything, down the field were missed, attempted, that kind of thing.
They played a lot
were
of
a lot?
They played a lot of high too high safety look, Pete. They had the one to A-Rob early where he got the pass interference. And then they did not throw an outside deep ball again, I don't believe. There was some running of the routes, but the safety's over the top. He tried to hit the seam down the field a couple times. He had a couple deep ends. But as far as outside receivers going deep, if I'm not mistaken, it was the one time to A-Rob that we got P.I. After that, I don't recall another shot outside. Now, some of that's dictated, and this is my big issue, is by the two high safeties. You have two high safeties, and there was only 11 runs by the running backs. If you get two high safeties a lot, you better be able to run the ball. And right now, this team's not effectively doing that. Because you have a weak box. I mean, you have the advantage inside. You got to run it.
But another thing he's been doing, too, is you talked about the seam throws to the tight end. He predetermines he's going there before the snap, whether they're going to be open and double.
When they're way
or not.
Too flat.
Right. So that's
no chance. Well, he had a corner route. He had a corner route to Mercedes. Mercedes runs a great route. He has two steps on the guy. And he grossly underthrows it where it hits Malcolm Smith, who's running as hard as he can to catch up in the back of the head. Throw it out there.
Now,
it's a big play. It's a 30-yard play.
On the third down play early in the game when he threw a little bit behind Robinson, Robinson looked like he got mugged on that play.
How they did not call pass interference on that.
Yeah.
First of all, he got held before the ball is thrown, and then he gets tackled as he's coming out of his break around the head. And somehow –
But here's the thing. Here's the thing, Tony. He got mugged and held and everything else. And the ball was still behind them. What if he had actually run the route?
Where would the ball have been? Pete, you're missing my I think we agree. There's no reason to talk about it. He played bad yesterday. The kid played bad. I mean, I don't know how else you want me to say it.
All right, I know JP wanted to talk some coaching stuff and discipline and everything, and I got my theory on that too, which
we'll do it after the
break. It's not going to make Baselli happy either.
I like it. Let's come back and get into that. The Southern Chevy dealers are giving you a chance to win a VIP game day experience and a brand new Chevy Malibu. Register at your local Southern Chevy dealership today for your chance to win. Visit ChevyWinners.com for more information. Loss of poise when we come back. Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
They probably don't want me to say this, but I'm going to just keep it real with y'all. If I was out there 9 more times, I would do the same exact thing. I don't think I should have been thrown out the game for it. Neither do I think he should have been thrown out the game for it, to be real with you. But I'm not going to be disrespected. Pretty sure y'all know that about me by now. So I would do the same thing.
Jalen Ramsey in the locker room today. Doesn't want to be disrespected.
Did he say 9 times?
If it happened 9 times, he'd do it again.
What about 10? 9's just a random number. How do we come up with 9 times? Usually you say like 10 times.
He meant 9 more times. Probably.
I don't know. 9, 10, 100, I mean, I don't know.
Either way, he was ejected from the game. Malik Jackson ejected as well after the roughing the passer call was
terrible call.
Not good.
And, terrible call.
But his reaction was 10 times worse.
Yeah, no, but 10 times was worse.
It was bad. And
all right.
It boiled over, and they both
got ejected. The reaction on the sidelines is what bothered me.
What was that, Pete?
Okay, Malik Jackson gets tossed from the game, and he's clearly still going a little batty on the sidelines, right?
Yes.
He's still getting after. Why did Gus go over and baby him? I would have told him, get the hell off my sideline and get in the locker room.
How do you know he babied him? Do you know what he said, Pete? I'm just curious.
Did he not pat his little face?
Do you know what he said to him? I'm just curious because you said he babied him, so I'm sure you have the transcript of what the conversation was between.
Well, I didn't have the transcript, but did he look mad? I don't know what he said.
I don't know if he was mad or not.
He gave him a friendly little pat on the cheek.
Okay.
Because he was still running his mouth.
If he was mad at him, he wouldn't have given him a friendly pat on the cheek.
Okay. I don't know what he said.
Well, it didn't look like he was mad at him.
So you wish
I would have told him. I wouldn't even gone over and said anything. I would have just pointed my finger and said, get the hell off the sideline, get in the locker room. You're the one who was tossed out of this game. Now get out of here.
Okay.
You don't agree?
I didn't say I didn't agree. I just don't know what Gus said. And so I'm not – I mean, he got kicked out. He's gone. He left the field. I mean, whether Gus –
Well, he didn't leave the field.
Yeah, he did.
Not right away, he didn't.
Yeah, he pretty much did, Pete. Gus grabbed him to talk to him, and then he left.
Well, he didn't leave right away because Gus went over there and actually gave him a little pat on the cheek.
Okay. I'm not going to make a big deal out of whether Gus patted his cheek or kissed his cheek or...
I didn't say he kissed his cheek.
I'm not saying he did either. I don't care what he did to his cheek. He left. He got kicked out of the game. He left. I think you're creating a story that's not there.
I think you disagree with me, but I mean, I think you agree with me more than you think.
What do you mean? I don't agree or disagree. There's nothing to agree or disagree with. He got kicked out of the game. I don't care what the coach said to him, honestly, at that point. I could care less. He left the field. He's off the field.
What would you have said to him if you were the coach, and you are a coach? What would you have said to him if the kid got kicked out of the game? Would you have gone over there and said, oh, it's okay, Malik. Now go ahead. Go back to the locker room and grab a shower.
Now you're assuming what Gus said. You don't know what Gus said. It's okay.
Well, that was the question. What would you say, Tony?
I wouldn't say anything to him.
You'd have to tell him to get the hell off the sideline to get in the locker room.
I would have told the security to get him out of here.
Right.
Because I didn't want to see him.
You wouldn't have gone over and given him a pat on the cheek.
I don't think I would have. I can't remember the last time I patted anyone on the cheek except for my daughters.
I had to do a double take to figure out who that was doing that.
I don't know what the story is here, Pete.
The story is
that it's ridiculous that Malik and Jalen got kicked out.
The story is that you shouldn't tolerate that.
Who said he did? Did you hear the comments today? He said he didn't tolerate. He said it was completely wrong, unacceptable.
And it reflects on him as a head coach.
And the culture. That's what he said. I don't understand.
I don't think it's a reflection of him as a head coach. I think it's a reflection of him that he didn't get angry about it. That's a reflection of him as a coach.
Pete, in the press conference today, he said it was completely unacceptable.
But in the heat of the moment, he coddled him.
Okay. All right. I just didn't think it was that big a deal.
I thought it was a bad look. That's just me.
Okay. I don't.
How do you correct it moving forward then?
Correct what? Because he got kicked out of the game?
Yeah.
I said it this morning on the Dan and Jeff show, and I'll say it again. I'm not going to make a big deal about it. I've gotten multiple personal fouls for, you know, what I did back then. I probably get kicked out now for taking shots at guys who took unwarranted shots at my guys. I got in fights. I got kicked out of a Baltimore game and then got brought back in. I don't know why. One official kicked me out, and then the head referee said, "You're not out." Actually, I was walking to the locker room with Jerry Palmieri, and Tom yelled at me to get back in the game, and I said, "I got kicked out." He says, "No, you're back in." I don't know how it happened, but I got back in. And so I fought multiple times. I've got kicked out and then brought back in. I've got a ton of personal fouls. When I say a ton, a handful of personal fouls for late hits and taking shots at guys who I didn't like what they did. And I guess my issue is, you know, I hear fans and media and everyone making a huge deal about it. And what do we ask of these guys all the time? We wanted them to play with passion. We wanted them to play like they care and show emotion. And then I'm not saying what they did is okay, but it's a fine line. And I played against a lot of guys who walked that line and some great players and then maybe fell over a little bit. And as long as it's not a habitual thing, which I don't think, at least Malik Jackson, we don't know about Jalen Ramsey because it's such a small sample size of his career, but Malik Jackson, of all his days in Denver and his time here, I don't think he's Vontaze Burfict, who's getting kicked out and getting fined every week. He got emotional. He lost his cool. It's over. He'll get fined. The coach will deal with it however it is. And as far as okay, great. When I hear these people, Gus has lost control of his team. I never heard anyone say Tom lost control of his team when, you know, people are getting personal fouls. And I've seen players, I'm not going to name the players, have to be separated from Tom on the sidelines during a game.
Name them.
They're like who?
No, I'm not.
Why not?
Because
don't tease us like that.
It doesn't matter who it
yes,
is.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't. My whole point is they had to be separated from each other.
Tony, but
me personally, I've had to be separated in practice from a coach.
Right. Mike Mazur.
No, wasn't Mike Mazur. There actually wasn't Mazur. I had to be separated from a coach because we were going after each other. And I never heard once the highly revered, put up on a pedestal like he's a idol and a god, Tom Coughlin, who I have a ton of respect for, No one's ever said, oh, he lost control of his team. I've seen much worse.
Well, but
and
Tony,
guess
you
what?
You...
When you get a bunch of alpha males who care about their profession, care about their what they're doing with personal pride, sometimes they go a little too far. And it's not okay. You have to discipline them. You have to hold them accountable, and they're going to be fined by the league. If it becomes habitual, then you have a problem.
Okay, but you said you went after guys, and you had shots on guys when you weren't happy with what they did and everything. Did you ever get unsportsmanlike conduct penalties for screaming at the official?
Back then, Pete, you could scream at the officials, and they didn't give you unsportsmanlike. What I heard
you would have got one.
No.
You would if you knew you were going to get tossed out of the game, you would have got one.
I'm not saying I'm going to. I don't know, Pete.
I'll be honest with you. To be honest with you, Tony, I'm not coming down on Malik Jackson that hard on this. I really am not. I'm with you. I saw passion. You want to see fire in the belly. And Jalen, I don't think Jalen or the other guy should have got tossed out of that game, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I thought that was a quick trigger on those two.
Oh, because of just what had happened earlier, maybe.
Yeah, I thought
maybe.
It was a quick trigger. Yeah. I'm not saying it's okay, so I don't want everyone to say, oh, you're saying it's okay. No, it's not okay. And it has to be held accountable. And it can't
how many pre-snap penalties were there yesterday?
Too many. It's a problem. Dante Fowler lined up offsides twice. I don't know how you do that.
That's a reflection of coaching.
Well, he got pulled out immediately. I don't know. I mean, what do you do? Just not play him, Pete?
They shouldn't have these penalties. They shouldn't have as many.
Listen, I have been coaching just at high school football. And so it's not pro, obviously. But as a coach, you only can tell guys to do what they're supposed to do so many times, and then you have to either replace them with someone who's going to do it right or figure out a way to get them to do it right. And when the lining up of sides, I don't understand how that happens. I don't. One time, fine. You're cheating it. I mean, Bruce Smith tried to cheat it all the time. He was off sides all the time. They never dang called it, which is driving me crazy. But pass rushers all the time try to cheat it. I get that. But once you get caught once, and by the way, the first one, it was a first down situation or second down situation. It was right below our booth. He was so far offside. I saw it. I'm like, is he going to move back or something? He's a foot offsides. So, but pass rushers do that all the time. But once you do it once, you can't do it twice. And as a coach, I think they did all you can do at the moment is they took him out.
Well, how many offensive pre-snap penalties were there yesterday?
I think only one.
Yeah, I'm looking at a Kelvin full Beecham start. Yeah.
Kelvin Beecham had one after he got called for holding.
That was in the fourth quarter, 5 minutes to go.
Yeah, and, I mean, listen.
Back to back.
You got called for holding. You're blocking good pass rushers. You're down by 17. They know it's coming, and you're trying to get a jump. Again, I'm not going to sit here and kill the kid. It was one pre-snap penalty.
Tony, when you watch the game, there's nothing clean.
There is zero rhythm. Where you and I will agree, Pete, offensively, there is zero rhythm to this offense right now.
Correct.
Zero. And that is problematic in a huge way. Even in the win against Chicago, until the fourth quarter, there was zero rhythm. Zero. And I think a big part of it is the lack of the ability to run the ball and the drops combined with inaccuracy from your quarterback. You never get back-to-back good plays, it feels like, at times.
And it's a shame because a good defensive performance was wasted. They were pretty good on defense. Yeah. You know what they are, where they rank yards per play on defense in the NFL?
Pretty high.
What do you think?
I'd say
top five.
Six.
Four.
Top five, I was right.
That's pretty darn impressive.
The points
that
were given up, the points that were given up yesterday were not indicative of the defensive performance.
We'll come back in a moment and get through the injury report. The team put out a report today since they're playing Thursday. By the way, 72 penalties for the Jags. That's second most in the league.
It's too much.
Behind the Oakland Raiders.
The penalty yards yesterday were the most penalty yards in the NFL this year. Combined
yardage, yeah. The Jags for the year, 554 penalty yards, the most in the NFL. The JTA Stadium Shuttle has a new name, the Game Day Express. New name, same great service, price, and locations. The Game Day Express, take it to the bank. Injury report, we'll get to PFF grades coming up. And your calls in the second hour. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
I'm not going to sit here and protect every throw he makes. I don't want to do that. But You're right. There's throws that we need to have better, and we'd like to have more accuracy. But that's you see that in the league. I mean, I just saw a quarterback the other night, you know, NFL player, and he threw two balls behind it in the dirt. You know, some of those are going to come up when we're in a situation where we're not going to do it as well as we want offensively. Those things even get more magnified. And I understand that. He understands that part.
Gus Bradley, post-game last night, after the Jags fell to the Raiders 33-16, J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. We'll get to the Pro Football Focus grades coming up next segment, and your calls, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. It's been active on Twitter tonight. Tony is tweeting as we speak.
Hey, J.P., hey. So Gus was watching Gabbert the other night, I saw.
What'd you say?
Gus was watching Gabbert when he talked about the veteran who threw the two balls, skipped them into the ground behind somebody.
Apparently.
Let's put it this way. Blake Bortles is look more like Blaine Gabbert this year than he looked like Blake Bortles last year.
Okay. I don't know what you want, Pete. I mean, I'm not. You think he's regressed with a capital R. I don't think he's playing very well, especially this past week. I think you and a lot of people are being very short-sighted when you start questioning whether he's the long-term answer after six games, after a young player who had a very good year last year, and 50% of the games, so three out of six this year, he's played winning football. And so all of a sudden, you guys want to make this all about Blake Bortles can't play quarterback anymore. So I'm not – I mean – you want to keep on having the conversation, we can go round and round and say the same thing over and over again, but I don't think people really want to listen to it anymore. Because I think they know where you stand and where I stand.
And they think you're wrong.
You know what? I don't give a flip what they think. I don't. Because it's my opinion. Like I said at the start, I'm going to give you my opinion. You don't like it? Fine. You know what? Tweet me. Call me an idiot. I don't care. It's not going to change my day one bit.
Okay.
Because I'm going to tell you what I think. And at the end of the year, you guys can call back and say, I was wrong, I'm an idiot. But if I'm right, guess what I'm going to do? Nothing, because I don't care. I'm not interested in what you guys think.
You
think I'm an idiot or not.
Extension?
Say that?
Would you give him a long-term contract extension?
Right now, no. I don't have to.
You take the option, though, the fifth year.
I don't have to right now.
Yeah, but at the end of the year.
I'll evaluate him at the end of the year, just like I've said all along. Everyone wants to fire Gus. I wouldn't right now. I'd evaluate him at the end of the year. At the end of the year, if you don't think it's good enough, it's not going in the right direction, then you make a change. At the end of the year, I'll evaluate Blake Bortles, and if I feel like he's progressed to where I think he's the future, then I'd lock him up for a fifth year and leave it at that.
Based on what you've seen so far, would you?
Pete, I don't have to make that decision right now if I'm the GM.
If you had to.
I don't have
if
to.
If you had to.
That's like saying.
It's a hypothetical, Tony. If
right.
you had to.
And I'm going
to
hypothetically tell you I don't have to, so I'm not going to make that decision right now.
He is,
you know what?
Tap dancing like
crazy. I'm not tap dancing. I don't have to make
dancing.
The answer. Based on yesterday.
Okay, ask me that question.
Let me play dumb media person like Pete Prisco. And frustrated fans, which I get their frustration. I don't blame them for being frustrated. Never. Fans, you boo and be frustrated all you want. I have no problem with it. As a player, when you booed us, did I like it? No. Did we deserve it sometimes? Yes. And you want to boo and you want to send nasty tweets and you want to do all that stuff, you're a fan. Part of you're a fanatic. I'm glad you care and I'm glad you love it. But let me speak to the dumb media people. I'll be one of you for a second here, Pete. So overreact based on one game. After yesterday, I wouldn't.
It's not one game.
Okay, after the Indy game, I would. After the Green Bay game, I would. After the San Diego game, I wouldn't. After the Baltimore game, I wouldn't. After the Chicago game, I would flip a coin because I don't know. So I can go through this exercise. So when he throws for 400 yards this week against Tennessee and five touchdowns and they win 42-10, all of a sudden are all you guys going to be like, he's back. He's figuring it out. Let's sign him up for long term.
You know what's going to happen?
What's going to happen?
Gus is going to come over and smack you on the face and wake you up out of your dream.
Wait, no, it's a hypothetical, Pete. I'm just giving you – so let's play your hypothetical game. Hypothetically, Pete. So hypothetically, if he throws for five touchdowns 375 yards, no interceptions, and they win. Would that, will now you give him a long-term deal?
No. I'm not giving him a long, I'm at the end of the season.
Wait a second. You just said I can't do that. You said I want to know now. I said I'm going to wait to the end of the season. I got to know now, hypothetically. So I'm giving you a hypothetical.
Well, okay, ask me if I would do it right now. I'd say no, I would not.
I'm asking you next week.
No, absolutely not.
He throws for five touchdowns.
I still would not. Tony, you know, you keep talking about that Indianapolis game. The guy was 19-33 for 207 yards, and you're raving about that
game. I didn't rave. I said it was winning football. Thought he made winning plays. When he needed to make a play, he made plays.
Chicago, fourth quarter, take it away. It's a horrible game.
Okay, Pete, we've done this already. You and I disagree. You live in the overreaction now moment. I look at the big picture. That's all I'm doing. I'm looking at the big picture of saying I'm not going to make a decision right now. You keep on going down your path. The people on Twitter love you.
Pete,
keep on feeding the Twitter so they can say how great you are.
No, I'm not feeding anybody.
Pete, the Twitter man. Feed him, Pete. Feed him.
Tony's getting so mad, and then some guy asked him if he said Miles Jack was fat, and Tony got offended by it.
Where'd that come from?
Oh,
too? I saw
wow.
that. I'm like, I never said that. We were talking about is he thicker?
You asked the question.
I did. The word fat, first of all, never came out. I said he looks bigger to me and heavier than he was in college and thicker, which Pete Prisco, by the way, agreed with me. And Pete Prisco is the one who brought it up to me on the sideline when we were watching him in training camp one day.
I did.
Yeah, and so it was a conversation.
A little sensitive,
I'm not either. But then all of a sudden, these people on Twitter were talking about Bortles, and I'm getting these tweets. You still think Miles Jack is fat? I'm like, I never said he was fat.
This is exactly what the way Pete feels like when he says a tweet 2 years ago and they bring it back up to him.
I mean, it's unreal, these people. What do you guys, I mean, do they?
Yeah. Hey, let's come back and get to the injury report. Pro Football Focus grades. Pete, you got him tonight?
I got him.
All right, we'll get to those coming back. Your calls as well, 355-NFL-1. 355-6351 is the number. It's Jaguars Monday. Also, hey, coming up, Jaguars All Access TV at 7 o'clock. The guest tonight, guess who? John Osier is the guest on Jaguars All Access TV.
The reason there's no player is because
they're on the field. Yeah, so check that out on Channel 4 and on Jaguars.com if you're watching there. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
You know, obviously not playing good, but I couldn't tell you. I wish I knew. I'd fix it, but it's just a continual thing, and hopefully find a way to turn it around and solve some problems.
Blake Bortles in the post-game press conference last night. Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco, your calls coming up. Pro Football Focus grades as well. But first, the injury update for the Jaguars. Prince Amukamara reported a knee injury after the game. He's under further evaluation. He was chasing Crabtree a lot of the day. Roy Miller injured his right Achilles tendon and was removed from the game. The team is still in the process of determining a plan for
that
Miller.
That one worries me.
Yep. And Aaron Colvin aggravated his toe and was eventually removed from the game. He'll continue to be evaluated. Alan Hearns continues to experience neck and shoulder soreness. He played through it. Neil Sterling, plantar fasciitis, rehab continues. And Rashad Green experiencing Achilles soreness, but he played through it yesterday.
Which one concerned you, Tony?
Roy Miller.
Yeah.
Because of the way the injury happened, it really wasn't. He was pushing on somebody and then just went down. And right. I don't want to think the worst, but as well as I do, when you see a guy either non-contact on a cut or is pushing or driving and then all of a sudden just goes down,
right,
and it's the Achilles,
right,
it's not good. That worries me.
You know, it was weird, though. When they went to the sidelines, they really weren't looking at his Achilles, though.
I thought it was his calf at first.
Yeah, they were higher up on the leg.
Yeah, they were. So, I don't know. I'm hoping for the best. He's such a good player. So important to the run game. Avery Jones has played very well this year, but I worry about Avery having to increase his rep load. Sometimes, especially young players that go from a backup and with, a set amount of reps a game, and now all of a sudden they're pushed into starting reps and more reps, their play can sometimes initially fall off until they get used to the volume of play. But hopefully that does not happen, and hopefully Avery can continue to play the way he has as Roy's backup until Roy can get back.
By the way, before we get to PFF grades, a couple stat numbers. Jacksonville is 27th in the league in third down defense, which is kind of surprising considering they're playing pretty well on defense. That's from a lack of pressure. I mean, that
yep,
has to
I
be
agree.
Right, don't
yep. That one's concerning. Then, they're very good in the red zone, though, where they have been the last few weeks.
Yeah, and then on the flip side, the offense is
terrible on third down. Terrible.
32nd and third down.
Terrible.
32nd.
They've been like that for a couple of weeks, though. They've
terrible.
Been last.
And Jeff Logman brought this up, that Blake, I think, has the lowest third down quarterback rating, and that's concerning.
And then you talked about defense inside the 20. They are I'm just checking it. In the AFC, they are 8th.
So middle of the pack.
So it's not awful.
They've been good. They were not good early, especially that San Diego game hurt them. I think San Diego was 100% with a bunch of touchdowns. But the last 2 weeks, they've been pretty good.
Well, how about some pro football focus grading? And
I don't think Tony's going to be able to argue much tonight because
we have to do it, so let's just get it over with.
All right. On offense, there is not one player. Well,
Marquise Lee should be a green.
Yeah, he's right below the green, but he's a green as a pass receiver. They dinged him for some penalty or something.
That's dumb.
Marquise had the unsportsmanlike, remember?
Yeah,
right.
Into the third.
Yeah, it was bad penalty, but he played very well.
All right, nobody else, Tony.
I'd agree with that. I don't think anyone played well.
The only positive
offensive Linder probably.
No, he was just – he's above. He's not negative. The only offensive line positive area of anything is pass blocking by A.J. Can, correct or not?
He had a hold that was one of the worst hold call. I watched it. I still don't know where the hold was. They called him for it. Yeah, he was good. He played fine. Their run blocking. So I'm so frustrated by their run blocking and our run game that it's hard for me to get over anything else.
The two lowest rated offensive players were?
Blake Bortles.
Yes.
Allen Robinson.
Third lowest.
Kelvin Beachum.
Yep.
Couple penalties.
Was not Kelvin's best game.
Okay. Now we go to the defensive side of the ball. What's that, Tony? Yeah, he was bad. They gave him a
I don't think
him
he
really
was that
hard.
I don't think he was that bad, but he was not.
Dinged him hard in pass protection.
Yeah, he had a couple. He did not play his best.
Okay. Defense.
That's hard for me to say. It's the left tackle. I don't like.
Yeah, I can tell your face.
Three. There are three guys. I'm not going to count Dan Scuda since he's like semi. I mean, he played 19 plays yesterday, Dan Scuda. He was in the green.
Yeah, they continue to rotate him, and Dan, he played.
You know how many plays Miles Jack played?
11.
Eight. Now, they were in three receivers a lot, though.
But
all right, what defensive players are in the green?
Posluszny and Telvin.
Telvin, yes. Posluszny.
He should be.
No, but just off of it.
Yeah, he should be.
Sip?
Jalen.
Cyprian was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought Sip played pretty well.
Led the team in tackles.
What about Jalen?
He's not in the green, but he's not in the negative either. Somebody explain this to me.
How is he like the 59th rated corner?
They give him a 0.1 in pass coverage. He blanketed Cooper, it looked like.
I mean, to the point where Derek Carr never even threw it that way. He had one catch for 4 yards against Jalen when he was on Jalen's side.
Cooper have three catches for 20 yards or something when Jalen was on the field?
No, he had one for four, and then
it might have been one other short one. And then
no, he had one for four, and then he caught a curl route that was contested, but a penalty wiped it out. And then he caught – I think he only ended up with two catches. Then he caught a fade route against Devon House after Jalen got kicked out.
Right.
Yeah, for the day, he finished with four for 29 yards.
Yeah, so he had three. He had three against Jalen.
Okay. I don't remember.
Because there was one where there was short kind of a crossing towards the sideline.
That's the one I remember.
Jalen came up and made the tackle.
That's the only one I remember.
Yeah.
I don't remember the other one. So.
All right. So he was – Jalen should be in the positive. I don't know why he's not. But
he got ejected from the game.
Yeah, I wonder if the ejection doesn't help. It probably doesn't help him.
And then nobody on the front. Nobody.
I didn't think the defensive line, they didn't rush the passer very well. Hats off, though. The Raiders offensive line is pretty good. They're playing They're playing good football.
They gave Dante Fowler a positive grade in pass rush. You agree?
I don't think they ever – did they even knock – I don't think they ever knocked
no sacks.
Derek Carr down. I don't think he had a – No. I don't think he ever hit the turf.
Clean jersey.
No, and they're and going back and
so
watching
I don't know how you give somebody,
again.
I don't know how you give someone a positive on their pass rush grade if they never – I'm not saying he played bad. Worst. I'll say this. One thing I did like about what Dante did, I was critical of Dante because he was taking these little baby steps, little pitter-patter steps and not getting anywhere. He did not do that, and he had a very – one rush that stands out. He speed rushed Austin Howard, big guy, and one arm pressed him back into the quarterback's lap. It was the best pass rush. I don't care if he's gotten sacks on other pass rushers. I don't care about whether he got a sack or not. If he learns the pass rush like that consistently, he's going to get a bunch of them. It was a outstanding pass rush by Dante Fowler. Very encouraging for a young player who has not rushed the passer very much to do something like that.
Worst three players on defense.
Jared Odrick.
Number one.
Yeah. I don't think he played well.
Not even close.
Why? What?
Not even close.
Why was it bad?
Never a factor. I thought he played high. I didn't see explosiveness. I just don't think he played well.
Should Tyson be playing more instead of him?
If he's going to play like he did yesterday, yep. But now Tyson's going to have to play some nose, so or play some three technique and move, send more nose. I don't know how they're going to get the rotation fixed or what they're going to do without Roy. But, yeah, he'll play more. But so will Odrick because of their down a man.
Malik Jackson, big minus.
Yeah, I didn't think it was one of Malik's best game either. He had one really nice pass rush. Took three guys to block him. He beat the guard, and then someone else, the center tried to help and the fullback. But for the most part, I don't think it was Malik's best game.
And Yannick, big negative.
I said it before the game on the pregame show that it was a great test for Yannick Ngakoue. Going against Donald Penn, who is one of the better left tackles in the league, very underrated, and Yannick did not do much against Donald Penn.
How big and physical is that Oakland offensive
line?
It's unbelievable.
They're a good unit, and they played very well yesterday.
You said it before the game, and I go down there the last hours just to see them.
Monsters.
They're just monster human beings.
Well, yeah, because Penn's big and Howard is big. And they played three right tackles this season. They played three different guys there.
Osemele's big. Gabe Jackson is not tall, but he's got to be 350 pounds.
Osemele.
Osemele, I said, is a big man.
Yep.
And the center from Kansas City,
Rodney Hudson.
Hudson is not a – he's the smallest of them all, and he's, what, 6'3", 300.
How do you think they graded out by PFF grades?
All green.
Gabe Jackson, not green, but nobody's a negative. Oh, they gave us Semele a negative.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I didn't watch those guys that closely.
Donald Penn got the highest grade.
Yeah, he pretty much locked down the left side for that Raider offensive line. He's a good player.
He is a good player, and they almost didn't bring him back. That's kind of interesting.
That would have been a mistake for them. Would have been a mistake. So I'm glad PFS over because I don't enjoy it.
You look forward to it
you
every week. Don't
this
lie.
Week. This was a week you agreed. You
yeah, but I still don't. I don't care if I agree or not. I mean, I don't understand still how they do the grades off of a TV copy for most of the positions. And I read somewhere last week that they have Jalen Ramsey as like the 59th rated corner in the league. I'd like to see 58 more corners who are playing better than him right now.
I would agree with you.
That's just me.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. I don't know. Sometimes I don't know what they rank, how they rank guys. I'll be honest with you. I don't get it.
There you have it. PFF grades for week 7, the Jaguars and the Raiders. Let's take a timeout. We'll come back.
Calls. I can't wait.
Yeah, let's open the phone lines.
355-NFL1.
As lively as the Twitter.
355-6351. Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome. Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli in Jacksonville, Pete Prisco down in Fort Lauderdale at CBS Sports Studios. Jaguars Monday rolls along. Phone lines are filled up. Twitter is rolling.
I just got blamed for ruining someone's marriage. Tell what? Tony, someone just tweeted me this. Tell Tony his takes ruined my marriage. But then he goes on to say, I've never been married, but still. I'm not sure what this all means, but I'm getting blamed for a lot of stuff, Pete.
Well, I mean, it's that time, and you're going to get even worse when these calls start coming in.
Fine by me. Bring it. Doesn't bother me one bit.
All right. Hey, you guys want to open them up?
Yeah, we're sitting here waiting.
Yeah,
no,
bring
I'm waiting
them on.
To get
I
the list of
people.
Calls of people on hold. So here we go. Let's start off tonight with Elmer on the south side. Elmer, you're on the air. What's up?
Is this Elmer Fudd?
Yes.
Oh, good. What's up?
Yeah, man. I was calling. I mean, I'm wondering, is it really Blake? Because I'm looking at the plays that they're running. You know, is it really Blake? Is he all to blame? Because you got to put him in a situation where he could be successful, for one. And not only just him, the whole offense is predictable. I mean, if my five-year-old can say, okay, it's time to pass the ball, then I'm, of course, a professional that's running against you going to know, you know, you're about to pass the ball. It's just, it's too predictable. The OC has to do something different. You got to get his feet moving, do some play-action boots, rollouts or something. I mean, you can't just
they did.
Say.
They did do rollouts. They do nakeds every week. Every week they do those plays.
Well, he's saying that he needs
but
to do more.
You have
okay,
not only with the rollouts, but you have to have the receivers in sync as well. You have to use Thomas. I mean, you got to use these guys. Go back and look at
they targeted.
These guys
how many times did they target Julius Thomas, JP?
Julius Thomas had 7 targets.
So he threw it to him 7 times.
Yeah, they threw to him, but I'm saying it's predictable when they have to throw it. It's too predictable. Like first down, run a pass.
They
did.
Instead
of a run.
Multiple times they threw on first down. In fact, I'm pretty sure they opened the game with the throw.
Yeah, and you have to spread these guys out because you can't run the ball.
They ran 3 wide receivers on first down and threw the ball to Julius Thomas. It was incomplete.
The best pass he made all day was the boot out on in the first drive of the third quarter where he dumped it in over
very
the top.
Very good.
Of
that was a first down play too. So they did run. I'm just trying to make Elmer. I was making sure you were talking the same language here. They did throw the ball on first down. So I'm not sure what they bootlegged. They threw it on first down. Is it all on Blake? Nope. I said that from the beginning. It's on the receivers. It's on the offensive line. It's on the tight ends. It's on the running backs. It's on the coaching staff. It's on all of them. Every single one of them.
Yeah, I agree, man. It's just something has to be done. I don't think everybody, you know, they want to run Blake out of town. And it's not really all on him.
I don't want to run him out of town. Pete does.
No, you don't run him out of
Frank
town.
Frank Frangie does. JP does. Oh, me.
Yeah.
No, all the fans do. Not me.
Elmer, thanks for the
all right, man.
Thanks for the call tonight, Elmer. Let's go on to Mike.
Frank, I apologize for throwing you under the bus.
What about me? You threw me out there, too.
Apologize. I like Frank. I don't like you.
You're dumb.
I'm sorry, Frank. That was emotional.
Mike on the south side is on the air. What's up, Mike?
Well, Tony, I totally disagree that they didn't get Blake outside nearly enough. He had one good play where he did a bootleg. He apparently has
he
one
tried,
of the highest
he tried again
passer ratings when he gets out of the pocket.
They tried another time. You guys, they have to – the defense has to it has to be against the right defense. They tried another time. Bruce Irvin read it perfectly and was right in his face.
Okay, so 2 times the whole game? I mean,
they didn't have a lot of plays.
They need to do it more often.
Okay.
Tony,
I'm not saying.
That's the point.
I've also seen games where they've done it too much, in my opinion. There's only so many times you can run the naked bootleg. When you run sprint passing, which I know Pete doesn't love, it narrows you down to a third of the field.
But that's what he thrives on. That's what he does well. So you take advantage of his strength.
Pete,
not a good pocket passer.
He threw for 4,000 yards last year. 4,000! 35 touchdowns.
When
I mean, come on.
Out.
You're what do you base it on?
His numbers are way better when he's rolling out than when he's in the pocket.
Okay, I'm just going to say
this. Am I right, Pete?
Pete, how many times can you run sprint out passing in this league?
And it becomes a crutch for
Pete. How many times? Just
capable.
Answer the question, Pete, because
well,
I know you don't
run
like
it. All the time.
You can't run it very much. You can't.
No.
But if it's working, why do you go away?
It doesn't work very often. It works a couple times a game. Watch the NFL and tell me how many times people are running sprint out passing. And by the way, the only way the naked works is if you run the ball well, and they are not doing that. So tell me,
well,
show me.
They don't run the ball well. They didn't run the ball well yesterday, and he ran it a couple times.
You know this as well as anybody. And I've heard you complain about Kubiak's offense, which they've run the ball well a lot of times when he's the coordinator of different teams. But you only can run the naked so often, and you can't run sprint out all the time in this league. It's a drop-back passing league. That is quote-unquote from Pete Prisco himself.
I'm 100%, but if he can't do it, then you got that's your problem right there. If he can't do it,
he threw for over 4,000 yards.
Yeah, but a lot of that was on boots and rollouts and stuff. And improvisation.
Oh God,
yeah,
this is the same guy.
Sitting there
okay,
in the
great.
Pocket. He does way better.
I'll tell Ole tonight. I'll tell Greg. I'll shoot him a text. Say, hey, listen, you know, if we're going to throw it 45 times, I think you need to sprint out 25 of them. Because
that's not true.
Pete Prisco and the call.
Is that going to come after the text of running more on first down than two times? Remember last week?
That's our argument. Thing. We start making up stuff that we make up numbers that aren't real. But that's okay.
And as far as the run game, they had a little success getting outside. And why they didn't stick with that part, I don't understand
when
either.
Did they have success getting outside? I'd love to know that.
When did they, the two yeah. runs no, where they, it, where they made
first of all, go watch.
Yardage,
it wasn't outside. It was off tackle.
They weren't straight up the middle. They weren't straight up the
first
middle,
of all,
which is what they do 99% of the time.
That's not true. The T.J. Yeldon run was an inside zone that he bounced backside outside. It was the same play. The defense went inside. He bounced it outside. The Chris Ivory run was 42 yards, was off tackle.
Right.
Okay, off tackle.
I mean, come on. Make up your mind. You come on here and say they need to run outside. That's what their great runs were. No, they weren't. You say they don't ever sprint out. Yes, they do. So
they sprinted out twice in the whole game, Tony. In the whole game.
Thanks for the call, Mike in the Southside.
Great call.
I'll be honest with you. I tend to agree with the caller, and not that they need to sprint them out more, but they need to do something to jumpstart that offense, whether it's play fast, whether it's go more no huddle, whether it's
they ran no huddle, Pete. They ran no huddle. Didn't work.
They didn't run it enough. Maybe they need to run it more.
Oh, more. So get three and out quicker. Oh, that's a great plan. You have a defense that's already out.
What they're doing, is it working? How many three and outs did they have in the first half?
I don't think they had the ball very much in the first half.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, they had three or four.
I know they had three in a row at one point.
Well, yeah, those were on the second half. There was the three and out to open the game, their first drive, and that was it in the first half. And then they had three consecutive three and outs and another punt after that. Those three and outs combined for negative 4 yards in the second half, third quarter, is when that happened. Let's go to.
Did they run any screens ever?
Yeah, they tried. It didn't work. It was bad. It was a bad. Listen, yesterday, bad by the quarterback, bad by the receivers, bad by the offensive line, bad by the running backs, and bad by the coaches. It was a bad performance offensively. I know what else you want to say? It wasn't good. It was a bad day. Been a part of many of them, unfortunately. Not a lot of fun when nothing's going your way. Quarterback wasn't very good. Don't know how many times we have to say it, but we can keep on calling and saying the same thing over and over again. But if you're going to call and start making suggestions about how the run game was great because they ran outside and they needed to do it more, that's not where their successful runs were. This team has tried to run outside stretch. It has not been successful this year since the regular season started. It hasn't. I don't know why. I mean, I have my opinions why, but it's not. It hasn't gone well.
What is the opinion why?
I don't think their aiming points and targeting is very good on the offensive line and in the tight ends, and because of that, I think it has not created any natural cutback lanes or seams, and it makes it difficult for the back to make cuts.
Tony.
I'm not sure.
Maybe the backs aren't that good.
Maybe the backs aren't built for outside zone. I have a hard time saying that because they ran it really good, really well, I should say, in the preseason. But it has not worked. I mean, it hasn't.
Yeah, but I heard you the other night.
But if you're telling me that they need to – Pete, you're the biggest hypocrite.
No.
You kowtowed to that caller, because if I've heard you say it once, I've heard it 1,000 times. You can't live on sprint out passing and bootlegs in this league. You got to be a drop back passing team to
success. I stand by that.
You are Mr. Get Twitter and compliments and everything else. You are so soft. It's embarrassing.
Let me ask you this, Tony.
Yeah, what's up?
When the other night you were on with, I happened to be listening when you were on with Jeff, and you said something about how easy it was to run the outside zone in the preseason. For what reason? You said, I can't remember what you said, but you gave a reason.
Well, I think I was saying I was speculating because the fronts are more basic.
Yeah, they're not schemed up.
And so it's easier to get your pre-snap targets and aiming points, and there's not a lot of movement and not a lot of things going on. Backers aren't bossing over to strength. They're not dropping safeties down in the box. They're not rotating. You know, that's the only thing I can think of, Pete. I'm not sure. It was speculation by me.
Oh, it was interesting. I mean, you had good points.
Yeah,
that's why I was asking.
Yeah,
I just couldn't remember what you said.
That's my speculation.
Okay.
Let's go to Chris across the pond in the United Kingdom. Chris, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, JP. Hey, Tony.
Chris, what's up?
And Pete, glad to get on. Number one, Tony, you're dumb.
Thank you.
And the other, the question I've got to ask is, what is with all the penalties that were not being called? Is there like a new rules where Allen Robinson is allowed to run down the field with corners basically draped across his back? And then can either Pete or Tony explain the penalty where the Raiders jumped offside, Khalil Mack had a straight shot at Blake. Blake hears the whistle and throws the ball into the ground.
Never heard the whistle. There was never a whistle.
The play's over.
There was
never
a whistle.
And then the refs do him for intentional grounding as well, and it offsets the penalty. Can you explain that for me, please?
Yeah, the second one, the whistle was never blown. They jumped off sides. They snapped it. They did not feel like the guy had an unabated approach to the quarterback, and so they didn't blow the whistle.
Or is it me, or was the other side offside?
It was the other side offside. Right. Everyone stopped, and Khalil Mack came. That's not the official's responsibility at that point. You play. You don't assume the play's dead. You go play it through until they tell you to stop and blow the whistle, and they never did. So that's why it was intentional grounding.
What? Now, wasn't T.J. Yeldon standing right there?
No.
He was in the backfield.
He was on the opposite side.
Yeah, but he was close enough, right?
No.
So you think that was a good call?
I think it was I don't think Blake should have thrown it to the ground. I think he should have thrown it as far as he can and hope for a pass interference
right.
or something else.
Right, you got a free play.
Yeah. I think it was bad. I mean, unless he bad awareness. I don't know what it is. I mean, he didn't. It's a mistake. Learn from it. What was the first question? Oh, the penalties. Yeah, it's inexplicable to me that in a league that is supposedly talking about they don't want contact after 5 yards and it's a point of emphasis last year and they're going to call it, and we've seen us get called for it and we've seen a lot of teams get called for it, that somehow Allen Robinson can get mugged all the way down the field and no flag is thrown. I have no idea. It's a great question. It was awful. I think it's very inconsistent. But, listen, officials are human beings. They make judgment calls and sometimes they're dead wrong.
There you have it. We'll take a timeout, and we'll come back. Around the League coming up.
No more calls.
Our final segment with Pete Prisco before his program tonight. Thanks for the calls tonight. We'll go around the National Football League when we come back. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
BRI Productions is the Southeast's premier full-service event company with everything you need to bring your next event to life. Visit PRIProductions.com to learn more. JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Pete Prisco. Thanks to the callers tonight. The tweeters are at it. Tony is on fire tonight. Pete is on fire tonight.
Hey, Tony, did you see somebody sent a tweet saying get Elmer back on the phone? They liked your interaction with Elmer.
Yeah, me and Elmer.
Oh, tight.
Yeah.
We're buddies.
Let's go around the National Football League. Let's start off with the overtime thriller last night. Seahawks-Cardinals tie 6-6. Defensive battle, blocked field goal, missed field goals in overtime, and nobody won the game.
Yeah, I fell asleep in overtime. I couldn't make it. Too tired. Long day. The Jaguar game wore me out, Pete.
The Doink. you missed the doinking and the doink and the missing. I mean, Tony, you saw the over. Did you see the overtime when they both scored a field goal? Right.
I fell asleep before. I mean, the right.
Okay, they both
started.
Get a field goal. Right. They both get a field goal
I knew
in overtime.
That. Right.
Arizona gets the ball. Bing, 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 down the field. It looks like David Johnson scored, but there was no review of the play. They run another play, get stuffed. So on third down, he brings in the field goal kicker, and he doinks it off the crossbar.
From like 20 yards?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
24 yards. He missed it? Oh,
yes.
My gosh.
It's unbelievable.
Well, actually, they took a five. They got a five-yard penalty, so they moved it back. Right. But it was still 20. I think it was 28. Then.
It was 24.
Seattle hasn't done a thing. Nothing, right?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they hit a couple pass plays, get down. They look like they're going to win it. And he misses a short field goal. Yanks it left.
Hooks it.
The game is tied.
That's bad football. I'll tell you one thing
defense.
It was.
Yeah, a great defensive game.
Was it great defense or terrible offensive line play? That's
no, it was great. It was great defense.
All right.
It was great defense. But poor offensive line play like everybody else in the league, but great defense. That Seattle defense was on the field a ton all night long. I can't remember how many plays they played. I think they might have played close to 80 plays or something, Tony. They were on the field all night.
They're a very good unit. Man, they play fast.
They are nasty.
They play
you know what else
fast.
About them? They never quit. Ever. They never quit.
Hats off. I mean, they've been the top scoring defense for four straight years. It's hard to do. That's consistency year in and year out. That's where they've invested their money, that quarterback. They have not invested their money in wide receivers. They have not invested it in running backs. And they surely, Pete, have not invested it in the offensive line.
No, it's a bad offensive line. Where do you think they rank as the scoring defense in the league right now?
Got to be top five.
Yeah, they're number one. They're tied for it.
Yeah, I mean, they're outstanding. But the offensive line play around this league is really, really
tough. Putrid. It's putrid.
And
it's
that's
disgusting.
What you get for not practicing.
You don't practice.
If you don't practice.
Get college.
You can't
college
do it,
guys.
Pete.
It's all install. It's all install instead of teaching.
There's no teaching of technique anymore because there's no time. They don't have enough time in the offseason with these guys. Training camp has been cut down way too much. You can't get better. Listen, you can't play football, especially offense and especially offensive line. You cannot play offensive line and not work on your craft, work on your technique, and expect to get better. It's not like defense where you just line up and go.
Right.
It's technique driven up front.
Hey Tony, and I told you this story when I was in Arizona, sit with those offensive linemen. They had a tape of the '93 Cowboys against the Packers, I think it was. Mm. And the two things stood out from that, and I think they go back to attribute to it. It was a simple game. Teams would line up. There was not a lot of pre-snap movement. You know, tight end. Two wide receivers, running back, fullback, and they ran their play. There was no at the line of scrimmage. But the other thing was, is watching the offensive line play, it was violent, nasty, technique-driven, and unbelievable how different the game is from that standpoint as well.
It is, from the time when I played till now, it's night and day different. The league is not the same.
No.
It's not officiated the same. The rules aren't the same. The practices aren't the same. It's just different.
And it's more of a mental game now than it was then. Much more. You know, exotic looks, different defenses, nickel packages, dimes, you know, bear looks.
We started getting we got a lot of that in the second half of my career.
Yeah, but now it's even multiplied.
All the 3-4 stuff and the nickel blitzes.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you know, we started getting.
But the coverages now, Tony. There's even way more coverages that you know, I mean, it's a much more complicated game.
Unless you play Seattle,
right?
And then it's one.
But I think it's a much more complicated game, and therefore I think it's become more cerebral and less physical and less technique driven than it used to be. It's all you know. I'm going to out-scheme you instead of I'm going to teach him how to do it the right way. He's going to line up. He's going to blow people off the line. He's going to learn how to pass protect, and we're going to go from there. It's bad for the league.
The best games are when you have good line play because everything else is cleaner.
Quarterback's cleaner.
Correct.
If you don't have good line play, it's not going to be a good game. It's my opinion.
And like Dallas on Monday night, they play the Eagles on Monday night. That'll be a good well-played game because the Cowboys have a good offensive line.
That's right. And they're good. I watched them.
Are they the best in football right now?
Their offensive line, yes. I'll say this. Oakland's pretty good, too, now.
Big physical group.
Pretty good, Pete.
Green Bay's pretty good, too.
Green Bay is pretty good.
What they do.
They're pretty good. Good
and
unit.
You know whose line is playing pretty good? Atlanta's line had been playing pretty good.
I've not watched them yet at all.
Yeah.
Except on the 4th-and-1 in overtime.
That was a bad call.
Terrible.
I mean, that right there. Because even if it works, so let's say you get
still
first
gotta go
down
get
there.
25 more.
I mean, you still have to get 3 more first downs to get a field goal range.
Yeah.
Two and a half.
And somebody said, well, they don't want to give the ball back to Phillip Rivers. You gave it to him right there. Now you'll give it to him at the 10.
Make him drive it.
Right. That was a terrible decision by Dan Quinn. And those are the kind of things that drive me crazy by coaches. They get so caught up in the emotion. I'm going to show my team. Look out. No. Bad call. Period.
I'm an offensive lineman. And maybe I'd have liked it, you know, in the moment that my coach believed in us. But if I step back and look at the big picture, bad call. Bad decision.
I hate in the moment knee-jerk reactions.
You know where that's a good call, Pete? If you're on their 45. Because then you only need one more first down to be in field goal range. I'm fine with
Better
that call.
I'm fine with that call. I could have dealt with that one.
An offensive line with some issues right now, the Minnesota Vikings.
Boy, they can't protect anybody.
They got their first loss.
I'm surprised they haven't called you, Tony.
I haven't watched them, Pete, but just reading about it makes my eyes hurt. And I haven't even seen it yet.
It was bad. Let's put it this way. They moved T.J. Clemmings from right tackle to left tackle. Two weeks ago, he was awful.
He's not a left tackle. He's a right tackle.
No, he was awful. Well, then they go and sign Jake Long.
And they had
a three-tackle rotation the other day. And he didn't start, but he played. And he hadn't started since 2014.
He doesn't have a lot of football left in him, is my guess.
And he's got bad knees. He's had operations on, I think, 3 knee operations.
That's what I'm saying.
That could be the undoing of that team.
How did Jake could even move?
He got who? Bradford?
No, Jake Long.
Oh, Jake? Yeah. I mean, I haven't watched the tape yet, but it didn't look like on TV that he was moving very well.
It's too bad.
They got issues. That's going to be undoing of that team because you go to Philly, and he got hit. He turned the ball over, and they wasted a great defensive effort.
Well, that Philly team's pretty good. Fletcher Cox, man, he's good. Brandon Graham, good football players. Michael Kendricks.
But you know what, though? 2 weeks ago, they got run on by 230 yards against the Redskins.
Which is surprising.
It's weird. The league is weird. It's a week-to-week league. Yep.
For most teams. Not all teams, but 90% of the teams are week-to-week.
You know New England's going to show up every week.
You know Seattle's going to show up.
Yep.
Tell me another team you know that's going to show up every week.
No, that's it. It used to be Green Bay, but you can't count on them anymore.
Mm. Used to be Denver.
Pittsburgh, you could count on him if Roethlisberger's
really?
Playing.
How'd that work in Miami when they gave up 200?
Yeah, but he got hurt in that game.
They gave up 200 yards.
Gave up like
40
points.
Jay Ajayi.
Yeah.
Jay Ajayi, the Englishman.
He continues to run. He had 213 yesterday. And the Dolphins beat the Bills.
And again, there's a team that got their line going, Tony. Early in the season, they didn't have their offensive line. They were hurt. Now they got Pouncey back at center, playing center. They have Tunsil's playing left guard. Albert's playing left tackle. James playing right tackle. And all of a sudden, those guys are starting to run block pretty well. And again, it goes back to your whole theory. It looks cleaner when the offensive line's playing good.
If you can block them up, Pete, everything's easy in football.
I'm a big offensive line guy. I'm a big believer in it. And I think it's atrocious to watch it deteriorate before our eyes.
It's not hard to fix. Practice, guys.
Right.
Practice.
Well, great players like yourself and guys you talk, you know, like Charles Bentley and Steve Hutchinson and all the guys I talk to, you guys got to sit there and look at it and go, my God, what is this? This isn't anything close to what we used to do.
It's a different game. And I never want to be that guy. So, well, back when we played,
You do that every week.
I do not.
Yes, you do.
No, I
don't. You're doing it right now.
I'm not doing it right now because I'm not going
to
be that guy.
Hey, Tony, would you think that the solve the problem would be to go back to the union and say, hey, look, they need more practice time?
Yeah, it would be much better.
And you're not talking about in shorts. You're talking about putting them in pads and repping and everything.
Yeah, you have
else,
to have
right?
pads. You got to wear pads. Yeah. Guess what?
Yeah, you got to quit protecting. Can you got to quit protecting the player.
On Sunday, you wear pads.
Right.
So you should practice in pads. Now, I'm not saying every day, and I'm not saying it has to be crazy. But you know what? Once a week, getting 9-on-7 blitz and a team period of pads ain't going to kill you.
Let me ask you this. If the players wanted to practice in pads,
they can't.
On their own?
Can't. CBA.
They said, you know what? We're just going to go do
Coach
it anyway.
Coach can't be out there. And players can't govern themselves. Let me tell you that much right now.
Yeah, and they couldn't get the pads from the team, so they couldn't have anything issued by the team.
Uh-huh. Got it.
Yeah.
It's not like Alabama, JP, where you can go pull up some old player
Blake
and make
Sims.
Him run a scout
team. That's right,
team.
Like Sims.
I'm surprised that's legal, but I guess it is.
He's a graduate student.
Shut
they
up,
got
dude.
A guy to look at the rule book. What do you want?
I'm sure. I'm no,
wonder
I
what he got paid for that.
Well, he's not a football player anymore.
If it's not against the rules, I'm fine with it. I'm fine.
Hey, let me ask you this, JP.
Yes.
Can he get paid for that? That's like working. I wonder if he could get paid for
that.
Yeah,
sure.
Probably, because he's not a player anymore.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Sign him up. Everybody's going to start doing that now. Nick Saban always knows the little angles, doesn't he?
That's
he's like
right.
Belichick. They all know the angles.
They asked him after the game, how'd you figure that out? Well, we got a guy.
Yeah,
he knows the rules.
We read the rule book.
Yeah, they got the biggest coaching staff in history. They pay them all like a boatload of money, and then they have all these volunteer coaches.
Well, and you know
they're supposed to be volunteer coaches, and they've worked their butts off.
You're limited to how many coaches you're allowed to have on an NCAA team.
A lot of graduate assistants over there.
But boy, and not just Alabama. They all cheat the system, man. They got more stupid names for guys out there coaching. They make up titles.
Quality control guru
dude. Stats. Coach.
Right. Hey, let's go for a look at the AFC South. The Colts rallied for a go-ahead touchdown right before the two-minute warning, added another defensive touchdown to pull away from the Titans, 34-26.
Yeah, Andrew Luck's no good. That narrative was so misguided, it's unbelievable. The guy's a star. Give me him over almost any quarterback in this league, and I'll take my chances. Look, he was fantastic. He's carrying that team. That team stinks, and he's carrying him on his back. Bad loss for the Titans. I mean, they had that game. That's a bad loss for the Titans.
What's the Colts' records now?
What are they, 3-4?
Yes, correct. So, look at tonight. Monday Night Football, the AFC South leading Houston Texans are 4-2.
Wait. Oh. We didn't do the power rankings.
I know. I'm going to get to it. This is the Texans promo for Monday Night Football.
Okay.
They head to Mile High. They're going to face the Denver Broncos, who are 4-2. They'll try to keep pace with the Oakland Raiders in the AFC West. Brock Osweiler returns to Denver. A triumphant return. The Houston Texans have the division lead, and everybody needs them to lose tonight.
They have two losses right now, correct?
Yes.
They'll have three after tonight.
Oh. Well.
They're not going to Denver tonight. And winning that game. Not on Monday night.
Those
not
guys,
Mile High.
No, those Bronco defensive
they
players
kill
know
him.
That. And they know that he turned his back on them and left. And you know they're going to go after him with just venom. I mean, because they offered him money. He turned his back on him. And he didn't want to play there. So
the funny thing is, and it doesn't really matter, but I just think it's funny, as bad as the start of the season has gone for us, no one expected.
Don't say it.
No,
don't say it.
You're only one game out of the separation in the loss column from the first place team and the last place team is one loss. I mean, one game. I'm not saying that the Jaguars should be saying we're right in the division race. You don't worry about that. You worry about getting your team better. I just think it's ironic, as poorly as it's gone for this team and the way the expectations were, you're one game out from first place in the loss column. That's how tight this division is packed.
You don't want to say they're in the division race, but you just said they're in the division race.
No, I don't think you worry about that. I'm saying it's interesting to me that if the Texans lose tonight, which I believe they will, you are there's from the first place team to the last place team, there's one loss that separates all of them, which means, tells me, who wins their division games is going to win this division.
Because the division sucks.
Well, you can call it what it is. I don't care if it's good, bad, or indifferent. The bottom line is the team with the best record in this division is going to go to the playoffs.
Which means Thursday night's a big game for Jacksonville.
Absolutely.
Thursday night is a gigantic game for this franchise. One of the biggest disappointments of this past Sunday was what a huge opportunity was in the big picture. And as a player and coaches, maybe, you know, you don't want to get caught up in all that, but we sure can. And that was the frustrating thing is you look at the opportunity they had against a team that if they just play to their capabilities at home, I feel like they win that game. They didn't, so there's no excuses, and there's nothing else to talk about from that standpoint. But that's the disappointing thing, because as tightly as this division's bunched, now Houston could surprise us all and win this tonight, and it separates it a little bit, but I don't think they will. And that was the opportunity that was lost. So, well, right now,
so let's do the
short week. Yep. You get right back to the opportunity of Thursday night. Find a way to beat Tennessee. It's going to be a tough game. They're physical. They are a physical team. And you got to play better on offense. I trust the defense will be fine. You get to 3-4 and 2-0 in the division. It's amazing what winning does, guys. Everything will look better and taste better.
Ranked it. Let's get their power rankings.
AFC JP. South power rankings.
What are your power rankings,
after
Pete?
Week 7? What do you got, Pete?
Well, it's hard to do it because we don't know what the Texans will do, right? But I'd probably go, let's just say they lose. I'd still put them 1. Put the Colts 2. Put the Titans 3. And put the Jaguars 4.
Last.
The capital L.
Last with a capital L. Like regression with a capital R.
Well, yeah, because they go hand in hand.
Interesting.
Or a dumb with a capital D.
That's what
where
I
are
was,
you putting them, Tony?
Well, they've beaten the Colts head-to-head. Got the Titans this week. I got to put Houston 1 because they have the best record.
Right.
And we don't know about this. And I'm going to put the Titans, what are they, 3-4?
Yes.
I'll put the Titans, Jags, and Colts all tied for 2A, B, and C.
I think it's pretty weak on your part.
No, I'm just telling you. I think you throw them up in the air right
that's
now.
That's pretty weak on your part.
Okay, call it weak what you want, but I'm just they beat the Colts.
Colts have a better record.
They beat the Colts.
But they have a better record.
They beat the Colts. Right. I think they'll beat the Titans this week.
But that, we're talking about right now.
Yeah, after week
next
7.
Week, we're,
the Titans lost
if
this
they
week.
Beat the Titans, if they beat the Titans next week, the things changes next week.
I throw them all up in the air, and they're all 2A, B, and C.
That is weak. That's very
That's
weak.
That's a cop-out.
Fine, I'll put the Jags 2. Kiss my rear end. How about that?
That's a bold statement.
And by the way, I guarantee victory this week. So take that, Prisco. Guarantee it.
Is that Whoa, lock, super lock of the week?
A victory?
Yeah, lock. Whoa. Lock it down right now.
Oh, okay.
Win.
Well, then we'll have four days to think after the game. If they don't win, that how much we can mock you next week.
Well, you're not going to mock me because they're going to win.
I think they might win too.
No,
to be honest with
you, can think what you want. They're going to win.
I think we're going to mock you either way.
I don't care what you do.
It's going to happen. Get ready, Pete. Enjoy your show tonight.
All right, fellas, we'll talk to you next week. See you.
I wish I could say I was looking forward to it, Pete, but I'm not.
Pete. I know. Prisco, CBS Sports senior writer. We'll come back and wrap it up. Preview the Thursday night game against the Tennessee Titans. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
We wrap it up here on Jaguars Monday. JP Shadrick, Tony Buscelli, Pete Prisco is gone, getting ready for a program for CBS Sports tonight.
What is that program? Do we know?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'll check into that.
I think I have the what? Is it online or is it on
TV?
Know.
I wonder. I don't know.
Maybe we should ask him. You know,
well,
he's
as much
our co-host.
As I give Pete a hard time, he is very good at what he does.
Yes, he is.
I disagree with a lot of what he says sometimes. Not a lot, but sometimes what he says. But he is. At least his opinion is based on him doing some homework.
I'll play the role of Pete Prisco here and say you're entitled to your own wrong opinion.
That's Tony. Pete, but he is he's very good, very good journalist, very good at what he does.
So this week, Knowles are Jags Thursday night, but this coming weekend, what do you got? Knowles at home, right?
Knowles play Clemson, but I'll be in Denver doing the Denver-San Diego game for national radio.
On Sunday.
Yep, Sunday. So Jags play, because usually I do Thursday nights, as everyone knows who listens to our show Thursday night. But since the Jags have Thursday nights, I got moved to the Sunday game. So I'll do Sunday in Denver. And but Saturday night, I'll be actually going back to my hometown, Boulder, where I grew up.
Wow.
Sit there in my home with my dad and watch Florida State Clemson play. So I'm looking forward to that. It'll be fun.
It's actually a good weekend for college football.
Very
a lot of
good
matchups, man.
I thought last week was great. Even though it wasn't supposed to be, it was very entertaining.
Yeah, I had the Oklahoma Texas Tech game for Touchdown Radio in the studio.
That was a arena football.
It was a long one.
Arena football.
It was a long one. So, Jaguars and the Tennessee Titans. Back-to-back matchups with former Jags head coaches, by the way. Del Rio this past week, Mike Mularkey, and exotic smash mouth football this week. Well, they had a tackle-eligible screen pass touchdown.
Exotic.
That is exotic. What else they got? Run game, right?
DeMarco Murray, second in the NFL in rushing behind Ezekiel Elliott, I believe. Now, I think the Cowboys had a bye week this week.
They did,
yes. So DeMarco Murray might have overtaken him for total yards. I'm not sure. I haven't started I'll start prep on the Titans tomorrow for the Thursday night game. This game's more about – less about the Titans and more about what the Jaguars do. I actually don't care about the Titans this week.
You don't?
I don't care what they do. I don't care if they run, pass, throw it. I don't care – what they do on defense, because what matters is how the guys on this team play. And at some point, from the coaches to the players and everybody, and I think especially the players because they're the ones on the field doing it, there's points in the season, and the season's up and down, and you go through different stages and as a team and as individual. And you go through a game like last week where you lost ugly. Didn't play well, especially offensively. Some bad things. Didn't look good at the end. Guys getting thrown out. Some comments in the locker room.
Yeah,
you
sure.
Know, players question. You know, just
chirping. Yeah,
chirping. Mm-hmm. At some point, it comes to each individual guy saying, "I'm going to go do my job." It's about me winning. It's about me winning every snap. It's about me beating my guy. It's about me blocking that guy, winning on routes, throwing the right route, breaking a tackle, running, hitting holes. I mean, you got to do your job. And I believe, and I'm biased, I'll say that much when it comes to a statement like this, I think this is a talented football team. I think they got good football players on both sides of the ball. Offensively, the good players aren't playing good right now. And that happens. It's happened to us all. We've all had bad games and been through rough stretches as players. And I think it's critical this team on offense looks around at each other, stops pointing the finger, stops – looking for the coach to come up with some magical play. I've been there where when things aren't going well, the easiest thing to do as a player is blame the coaching staff or especially the offensive coordinator, the plays, and, oh, it's this, that.
Go execute the play.
Just go play. Go play. I tell guys all the time, if you're an offensive lineman, your job is to block the guy across from you. It's not to call the play. It's not to catch the ball. It's not to throw it. It's not to design it. It's not to do anything. It's block the guy. If you're the receiver – your job isn't to block him. Your job is to go win. Go beat the guy. If you're the quarterback, your job is to get it to the right place. You're the running back. You're not. Don't worry about everything else. Just go run the play they call. It's not always going to be a great call. Offensive coordinator is always going to make the wrong call sometimes. It's going to happen. But if you go with the attitude, like, listen, we're going to go win this play. We're going to go win. We're going to go execute. We're going to go do our jobs, and we'll let the chips fall where they may. Good, bad, and different. If this team will do that, they'll be fine. They'll win the ball game on Thursday night. They are talented. They're good players. They are not performing. They're not executing. Not all of them and not all the time. This is what I said about Blake. I think it's unfair to say he has been terrible all year. That's not accurate. Did he play poorly yesterday? Absolutely.
Yes.
Did other guys play poorly yesterday?
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, the only thing you can do to change that is to go out and play better this week. So I hope they do. And I believe they will. And like I said, write it down. It's a lock. Victory.
You know who executed well tonight?
Who's
you.
That?
You.
Oh, thank you,
Tony.
Very much. Thank you.
Well done.
Highly criticized on Twitter. It's okay.
Yeah, well, it's what they do. They chirp. Jaguars Titans coming up Thursday night. For Tony Buscelli, Pete Prisco, Max Hockman, Joe Fortunato, I'm JP Shadrick. Thank you for listening. Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.